Randy Hester is an emeritus professor of landscape architecture and environmental planning at the University of California, Berkeley, and a co-founder of the Center for Ecological Democracy. He engages citizens directly in the creation of their landscapes and cities. Originally from North Carolina, he resides there once again and has won the All-America City Award for his work in Raleigh, among many other awards and projects, such as the Virginia Dare Award for work in Manteo, North Carolina. Last month, Hester visited the University of Arkansas campus as part of the Faye Jones School of Architecture lecture series. He stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio for a conversation with me. Both a sociologist and an architect, I began by asking him how he brought the two studies together.
When I was in school, I was in landscape architecture, and it was the only goal of success of landscape architecture, like architecture, was how beautiful is your building? It was really a beauty theory, and it was superficial. It was how well does it photograph? And I was in school in the civil rights era, and the more Frank Lloyd Wright was inspiring, but so was Martin Luther King Jr. And so I kept thinking, you know, our designs aren't, they may be pretty, but people aren't able to live in them very well. And there were some pretty bad things that designers were doing. And so I started taking sociology and realized, boy, I can take this right back to my studio, and it changed my design. It was amazing. And so then, since then, I have always tried to figure out what are the patterns of the people and what are the patterns likely to be and how then can we accommodate conflict and how can we make the place so the people can really love it. Because that's the goal. If people don't love their city, they aren't going to take care of it. They're not going to be good stewards of it. They're not, and the city's going to suffer, and the democracy's going to suffer.
We here in Fayetteville kind of have an unofficial slogan, or you see bumper stickers all around that say "Keep Fayetteville Funky." Uh-huh. You know, very similar to the "Keep Austin Weird." But uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of our identity a little bit, maybe.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
and I think that identity is really appealing. And small cities are now unbelievably appealing. I mean, it used to be that every kid who graduates from college wanted to go to really big cities. More and more, they are choosing the small cities. They're more livable. There's a higher quality of life.
Affordable.
They're more affordable. The industry now is really, it is able to locate in places that are really place-based as opposed to just economy-based. So, yeah. I mean, funky is a really great identity. Funky is a great identity. It's a little bit like I'm thinking now of, we worked in Haleiwa, Hawaii, and there were two slogans, keep the country country and no rush, rush. No rush, rush. Mm-hmm. They were committed. I don't think very many people there, not many native Hawaiians had read Thoreau, who said one of your greatest powers is not to ever be hurried.
Right.
But they knew the value of slowing life down. And funky is really, is cool.
I think we like it. Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that another one of your areas or one of your topics is ecological democracy. And you've mentioned democracy even this morning. Mm-hmm. So does that really just mean, a democracy for the people, by the people? Is that essentially what you mean by ecological democracy?
Yeah, I think...
Citizens taking a hand in it?
Yeah, and we have to. I mean, we all know that democracy is not like going to the Razorbacks football game in which we are spectators. It's a spectator sport. We all have to be part of the 11, or a democracy is not very strong. And I would say I'm committed to design landscape architecture, city planning, primarily focusing on making the democracy strong. I believe that the only way we can do that is to shift the focus from short-term profit, which largely, it's not just profit for corporations, it's profit for you and me. That is, what's good for me today and tomorrow is largely what's driving the democracy. And I think that we have to push it towards ecological. The democracy has to be more informed, and policy has to be more generated on the basis of ecological principles. So, to me, and Aldo Leopold said the first principle of ecology is that land is a community. And Martin Luther King Jr. said that he was cognizant that we are tied in an inescapable web of mutuality, a community. And so community then becomes the central piece, I think, of an ecological democracy. Because if the economy, I don't really know about Walmart, but I bet that Walmart is more responsible here than they are in North Carolina, because they don't have any commitment to North Carolina other than it's a place where they sell stuff, employ people, and make money. Here, this is their place.
This is their home.
This is home. And so place is important. Community is important. And I believe that we can create an ecological democracy. It will require a shift in what we think of as democracy. And I think about it in terms of, I wish that Patrick Henry had said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty and give me responsibility. Now, he didn't say the responsibility part.
No.
And if he had, we would have a different mindset, I think, about our democracy. We think of it as something that Thomas Jefferson and those guys gave us, but we are the only way it's going to continue to be strong. It's up to us, and we have to be responsible for it.
Well, when you talk about community, you know, I have my, well, really, my parents have, you know, these 80 acres. And down the street, you know, I mean, Michelle could have her, you know, home on one, you know, acre. And, you know, so we each have all these individual places.
Mm-hmm.
How do we work with our individual land and places and still build a community?
Well,
Did I phrase that very well?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You phrased it beautifully, and it is the dilemma, I think, of our time. I think that we have become increasingly selfish, and we do not particularly have what's called, in, I think, political science, self-interest well understood. And that the self-interest has to be integrated with the responsibility to community. I mean, and this is what Aldo Leopold, I think, was telling us about land, that we cannot separate your mom's 80 acres from what's around it. It's the, you know, the creatures, the fox that's going from the next property to your property doesn't know the difference. The water that's falling on her land and running either on top of the earth or into a cavern and somewhere, they're all interconnected. And I think we have to understand that's what a community is. It's these interconnections. And of course, we're going to, we should be concerned about our own personal needs, but our personal wants are really what's getting in the way of community, I think. And design addresses this. Design can either encourage selfishness or it can encourage community. And community requires work. And it does require sacrifice of some of my freedoms. That is, I have to cooperate with you, I have to at least acknowledge that your values are as legitimate as mine. And most Americans today, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And we have become so successful that we have a tendency to say, well, screw my neighbors. That's not so good.
For sure. Yeah. I'm not going to cut my bush or,
Yeah.
How can the community, how can the citizens, the community work with the city planners and the city administration?
Yeah, that's a really, that's a key thing because it is a partnership. I mean, a lot of the historically citizen participation was cast against the city. It was cast against big business. And I think we all now realize that that wasn't community either. That the city is the city government is the keeper in some ways of the democratic process, and we need to be sure that the government is open and transparent. We've just been through a really nasty process in Durham recently, in which a parking study for downtown was done. And there's some sophisticated citizens who realize that parking is really important, and where it is important. And citizens aren't usually concerned about those kinds of studies, right? You only get really mad when they start taking your parking space mm-hmm. away. Well, these citizens were proactive.
Or start to charge for it.
Right. And this was a big issue because the pioneers in downtown Durham, when we moved to downtown, there were only 21 people living in our census tract. Now there's several thousand, and there's 2,000 more units of housing being built. So it's this, pretty soon there are going to be a lot of people living downtown. Now, the to attract the pioneers to downtown, they gave us free parking. And now they want to charge $90 a month. Well, we don't drive.
Right.
So we don't care.
Yeah.
Except we want them to be honest in the process, the city to be honest in the process. And they told us we will have a series of public workshops, and we will figure out the parking for downtown, and we will work with the citizens. Well, as it turns out, in 6 months ago, they adopted these fee increases without informing. They never had the workshops, and they did it pretty much in secret. Well, people are really furious, mm-hmm. and they should be, for all sorts of reasons. So the city has to learn to be transparent and honest and fair. And there's no need to try to sneak something by Americans anymore, I don't think. I mean, there certainly used to be a time
right.
when you probably needed to sneak something by. Citizens have to become, this is a matter of learning to walk in each other's shoes. What's the city planner? What are his shoes? What do his shoes feel like? What does the city council person's shoes feel like? And then, of course, the citizens have to learn how city government works. And many people don't want to take the time, and it takes time. I think that in the same way that we are expected to tithe to the church, we should give 10% of our lives to democracy, which means then we would know
becoming
how the
informed.
Process works.
Yeah.
We would be informed because being informed is really key, I think, for citizens.
Well, and, you know, and the city planner is really a citizen also. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
in a different position.
If they play multiple roles, and indeed, if they live in the place, they have an incredibly complex set of hats they're wearing.
All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else, Randy.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate your time.
Thanks for doing it.
Randy Hester is an emeritus professor of landscape architecture and environmental planning at the University of California, Berkeley. He now resides in North Carolina. He has worked on many projects, including the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial in Washington, D.C., and has authored works such as Design for Ecological Democracy. I spoke with Hester last month while he visited the University of Arkansas campus. This is Ozarks at Large.